This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasothi. Waste management and public cleanliness is an issue that municipal authorities tackle on a daily basis, presenting a variety of logistical and environmental problems. Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishakaran back in the studio with us for his monthly series to discuss how local governments go about their work, collecting our garbage and keeping our streets clean. Welcome to the show, Rajiv.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be back.
And the difference today is we're opening up the phone lines. I don't know whether that's a good idea, Rajiv.
This is quite a hot topic. Open the phone lines.
It is. So if you want to give us a call, the number is 03-77-109-000. You can tweet to BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. So Rajiv, picking up from where we left off last month, I mean, I think you spoke about roads and you spoke about the Selangor State Assembly Select Committee on Local Government. Could you just go through a little bit about what this committee actually does?
Hi. Okay. So The state assembly has a number of select committees. We have about 10 select committees. Basically, these are the backbenchers, meaning that the members who are not part of the cabinet, not part of the exco, who are governing, we are the backbenchers. We form 7-member committees to look into various aspects of governing Selangor, and we produce reports of our investigations, and we even make recommendations to the state government. So my committee is the Committee on Local Councils, Local Government. 7 of us, we look into various issues affecting local government, and we look at how we can make things better and make recommendations to the state government to improve the performance of local governments within Selangor.
How far have you come so far?
We've just started, just a year plus ago, and we've looked into roads, rubbish, management of low-cost flats, and town planning procedures, town planning principles. We will be looking more into other matters like how the local government sets KPIs for their staff. And in fact, if any of the listeners out there have areas that you think we should study or look into, do let us know. We will be looking at different issues from time to time. And in fact, we have visited a few local authorities. We'll continue to visit local authorities just to see how things are functioning on the ground and to look at areas where we can improve, to look at what constraints they face, and to make recommendations so we can overcome these constraints and improve services
Your fellow Aduns and the Select Committee actually went to Singapore.
Yes, we did.
You studied the road system. You also studied cleanliness.
Yes.
We've spoken about the roads, how, you know, the exchange of ideas as far as road systems are concerned. What did you take away about cleanliness?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. Okay. So, yes, we did make a trip down to Singapore, 2 days official trip, one night. And one of the reasons is because it's near, it's affordable, and I think most listeners out there would agree that Singapore has set the bar really high with regards to the quality of roads and the quality of public cleanliness. So we just wanted to see how they manage things, and one of the things that I think is really pressing in Selangor is that we improve roads, as we talked about it last month. And the second probably biggest pressing thing is that we improve cleanliness. Mm-hmm. So, without a doubt, enforcement has definitely played a role in Singapore, and that's something that has to come into Selangor. Without enforcement, all kinds of great ideas that we may have will come to naught. You know, nothing can materialize. It would just be wishful thinking without coupling with enforcement. So that's something that requires some amount of political will, and as well as investment. You know, investment into public education. I've learned from Singapore that they do not just expect people to follow rules blindly. There is a certain amount of public education. And in fact, I was glad that, you know, our visit to a town council in Singapore, which is headed by a member of parliament, he shared with us his difficulties in this aspect. Even today, after decades of public education, they still face challenges in regards to public education. They Singapore still fights a dengue problem. However small it is compared to Malaysia's dengue problem, they still battle dengue problems and how they have to engage the public and educate the public and get the public buy-in to help. Because it's not just about issuing summons. You know, that's just one small aspect of enforcement, but it's how you engage the public to educate them and why we shouldn't do things this way, why we shouldn't litter, why we shouldn't put rubbish in these places which are wrong, and why we should use the correct facilities. So this is key. The second takeaway is how easy the government in Singapore has made it for the residents to dispose of rubbish. That is something that we found in our report. Now, we sent questionnaires to all 12 local governments in Selangor. We gave them a series of things. We asked questions, how do we dispose of this and that? We asked them, if I were to cut down a rambutan tree, how do I dispose of the tree? If I were to throw away electrical appliances, how would I do so? If I were to throw away a mattress, how would I do so? So we asked them these questions, and we asked them to explain to us how they expect the public to do it. Do you put it in front of your house? Do you call a certain number? And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, sadly, a lot of the local councils in Selangor didn't have answers to a lot of the questions we asked. Most councils couldn't give a proper answer as to how to dispose of an old computer, for example. Most councils didn't have an answer of how do you dispose of a mattress properly. And I think this is a problem that we really need to address, and it's in our recommendations that we need to establish these systems. We need to tell the public, okay, if you're throwing this away, if you're throwing an old mattress away, this is what you do. Do you call this number? Do you just put it outside your house on let's say, a Monday, and it'll be collected? This is something MPPJ, MPSJ, and basically all 12 councils, they need to set up systems in place, and then they need to go and educate the public. So you got to use billboards, maybe flyers, try to get a bit of airtime on the radio. I'm sure BFM will help them to come and explain to the public yes. how they should do it. And we've got to create that culture, all right? So that is something very key. You know, it's easy for residents in Singapore to know what to do.
So you don't blame the people then at this stage? If local councils don't have their act together, how would we know?
Yes. So in the areas where the local governments do not have their act together, I don't blame the people. But in some areas, the local government does have their act together. For example, littering. You should not litter along the street. I think all of us can know that. I think if any kid were to ask us, is it okay for me to throw this water bottle just on the roadside? You know, our instinct would be to say no, you know, look for a dustbin. But yet, if you walk, even just outside BFM, you look at the street here, it's littered with rubbish.
Yes.
So not everything is without system. There are shortfalls in the current system. This is what we learned, that what was a wake-up call in Singapore, that we need to address the shortfalls. But at the same time, in a lot of areas, we do have systems. We just don't follow. Another example is shops, you know, restaurants. And in fact, every shop lot, it's mandatory for them to have a dustbin that has a lid. This is to prevent cats, dogs from tearing open rubbish bags and look for food. Many shops don't. In fact, local councils have gone around enforcing this. And I know in my area in PJ, there has been enforcement into this. Yet, till today, there still are restaurants that still don't have proper dustbins. Yep.
What about grease traps? Let's not even go there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole different level. So there are many areas in which we have right answers. And in fact, answers which conform to the norms internationally. But, you know, because of lack of strong enforcement, I won't say lack of total. I mean, there is some enforcement, but not the Singaporean, you know, big cane kind of enforcement that we lack here. And that may lead to certain businesses, individuals feeling safe to break the law.
Is there a reason why Selangor doesn't fall under the Solid Waste Management Program, the federal Solid Waste Management Program?
I think there are many weaknesses in the federal system. I think solid waste should be at the local government level, because there's no need to, I mean, defense, healthcare, these are things that can be run federally. Should be run federally because you need certain economics of scale. But cleanliness is something that's very local. You have local areas, you have local supervisors. Having Putrajaya run it, I don't think is the best idea. I think local governments are more in tune with the conditions on the ground, more in tune to put in place different systems that suit different areas better. and thus it should be controlled at the local level. Secondly, the federal government is paying a lot of extra money to these contractors without the necessary competitive tenders. And I think that's something that Slangor cannot stand idly by and condone. Now, if the federal government is doing competitive tenders for public cleansing and rubbish collection in states which are under their control, like Negeri Sembilan, Melaka, Pahang, and so on, I think that would be a different matter. But because of the direct negotiation systems, that's not very good.
And so how does the Selangor government choose your contractors?
Through competitive tender. There is open tender for all of the jobs, all the contracts, and that's how we choose them.
Under the previous Chief Minister, garbage collection contracts were awarded to the lowest bidder. Do you think that was the best way of, you know, awarding contracts, because it doesn't necessarily mean quality service?
I personally support giving it to the most competitive bidder, not necessarily the lowest bidder. I think every contract you have to weigh the balance of technical capabilities and experience and track record, as well as pricing. So I would say the first test should be on the technical capability. Now, if companies cannot pass this test, they have, like I said, no experience, no machinery, no staff that has had experience in this area, then that's a red flag. And probably no money in the bank. That's a very red flag. So these companies shouldn't make it to the second stage where we evaluate price. So at the technical level, we can filter out all those who are not capable and do not qualify. And then among those who qualify, I don't see there's anything wrong with going with the lowest price. But having said that, I know a lot of listeners out there would have had concerns with the quality that some of us have felt in certain areas of PJ and beyond PJ. Because in our opinion, two more things, in my personal opinion too, two key components to a successful tender system needs to be improved in Selangor. And the first one is that we don't have performance bonds, because these contracts are deemed too small under the Treasury instructions. That's what we are told, that we do not have performance bonds on these contractors. Now, performance bonds means that, you know, when they get the contract, they've got to put in a certain formula of money with the council. So let's say I propose 3 months. So they've got to put in 3 months. So if they let's say their monthly contract is 30,000 ringgit, they've got to put in 90,000 ringgit performance bond. If you don't perform, we ax you and you forfeit the performance bond. However, today, companies go in. If they don't perform, they still get axed. Mm-hmm. But because they don't have a performance bond, it's like they didn't lose much. Yeah. In the process.
And there's no sense of commitment.
Yes, and that's why we probably get a lot of not so serious players jumping in the tender game, because they know it's not that difficult to submit a tender, and they don't have to put up a performance bond. So there's you small players who do not have the capability, don't even have the commitment or the desire to perform well, may end up getting in. So that's one thing that must be addressed. The second aspect that must be addressed is good supervision. So I don't want to paint all supervisors it with one brush, because that would not be fair. I have known many very good supervisors which will highlight to their bosses errant contractors. But at the same time, we do have bad apples, and we need to have a better management of the supervisors, so that supervisors who are not doing their job to supervise the contractors maybe will need to be reassigned to a different kind of job. Maybe supervising on the field is not suitable for them. We need to get in place dedicated and competent supervisors that will be able to monitor the contractors, reprimand the contractors, and even make the necessary reports to get the contractor terminated if the contractor can't live up to the specifications of what they're supposed to do. So if Selangor can improve on these two things, and these two things are not problems in Selangor alone, I mean, these are problems plaguing the whole country. If Selangor can improve on these two things, we will definitely see an improvement of performance. And that's something which we have urged, and I urge the state government to put emphasis on in the coming months, in the coming years. You know, we've progress slowly, we've got to make progress in this direction.
Okay. We and of course the golden question of finances. I'm sure it costs a lot of money to actually implement public cleanliness programs and waste disposal, have effective service. Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, in the studio with us. If you want to ask him a question about public cleanliness and waste disposal, we live in the state of Selangor. Give us a call. The number is 03-77-109000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. It is Live and Learn. Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, in the studio with us discussing public cleanliness and waste disposal. If you have a question, give us a call. Phone lines are open. 803-77-109000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Rajiv, of the 9 local councils, that's 12 local councils, 12, am I correct? That provided stats from 2010 to 2014. Now, this is interesting. The population increased by an average of 11%, but the amount of domestic waste collected increased by 25%. What is the state government doing to address this? And do we know why? That's almost double the amount of waste for the population increase.
Well, it's actually not evenly increased. In fact, some areas is even worse. I think Shah Alam has gotten the worst stats, that population increased by 11%, but waste increased by 42%.
That's four times more.
Yes. There is the good reason for increase and the bad reason for increase. So let's go with the good one first.
Okay.
The good reason for increase is that we are collecting more rubbish instead of letting the riverside collect this rubbish. And I think efforts made in the last few years, you know, to eradicate illegal dumping spots and to ensure that our rubbish collectors collect the more of the rubbish that is actually being produced in society will also lead to an increase in the ratio. But it is also the way people consume products and goods these days, as earning power increases over the years, if you say compared to 5 years, 10 years ago, people spend more, and with spending more comes a lot more packaging. And besides spending more, there's also, I would say, you know, like for example, furniture. We used to have furniture that will last 20, 30 years. But today, not so much.
You know, let's not even talk about the washing machine.
Yes, the washing machine, appliances.
Long. They're not made to last long anymore. You know,
the kitchen cabinet that my grandma had in the early 80s was passed down to my parents when they renovated their house. And then when I got married and moved into my apartment, it was passed down to me. I don't think if you buy a kitchen cabinet out there today, it will last that long. So with products, with lower quality products being an option these days, you know, you get cheaper mattresses, you get cheaper furniture, cheaper sofas. They may not last as long, and people dispose of these things more frequently. So that could be one of the reasons. But I have to admit, no detailed study has been done as to why this is an upward trend, why per capita we are producing more waste than we did before. And I think this would be an interesting study. You know, universities, masters, PhD students should look into that. You know, let's see why we're doing that. But the good news is that, you know, we recognize that that's happening. So waste separation is already a hot topic today,
yes,
and it's already underway. And that is one of the strategies to reverse this tide, because if we start recycling more, then our net garbage that we put out and it's collected by the garbage trucks and sent to the landfills is going to start dropping if we take waste separation at home seriously.
Okay. Captain Harminder, you have a question.
Yes, I have two questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, now, number one, I'm not from Selangor. I'm from Seremban.
Okay.
But I have a business in Kota Kemuning, Shah Alam. And I've been running the business for the last 10 or 12 years there. The thing is, we have parking wars in that area. Of recent, the last 1-2 months, they have been cracking down on these cars that are not parked in parking bays. They just want to come and tow.
Okay.
But the state government or the council have not ensured there are sufficient parking bays. I have 4 company cars, of which we buy the coupons, but we can't get bays to park them. The council is not addressing the issues of parking bays before enforcing the rules of towing cars away and issuing summons.
Okay, right. To move on to cleanliness.
Okay, cleanliness. We have a number. In fact, in Kota Kemuning, I think you have the most restaurants in Shah Alam. And most of these restaurants put out all their rubbish, their cleaning, cutting, and washing of meat and whatnot into the streets that are at the back. And this place in Kota Kumuning is infested with rats and cockroaches. Huge ones, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the second and third floor of the shop lot. All my electrical wirings, aircon wirings and whatnot have been cut through by rats.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And I have to spend money. I wonder what are they doing about cleanliness of restaurants, which are, some of them are really filthy, I tell you.
Okay. Thank you, Captain. We'll get Rajiv to answer your question. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Wow. Okay. So, I think I'll just touch very briefly on the parking because that's not really our topic for today. A very serious problem, and it's not just in Kota Kumuning. It's everywhere, including here in PJ. There just isn't enough base because we are all driving. And in some areas, council could look into expanding. In fact, I'm working with council to expand parking in Section 11 PJ because there is space and it's feasible to do it economically. And I would like to encourage the captain to contact your local councillor because every area in Selangor, you're represented by a councillor. And you can go to your Shalam City Council's website and you can there'll be a list of all the councillors and which area they cover. Contact your councillor, give him a call, drop him an email and engage him to see what we can do to improve the situation over there. But ultimately, in the long picture, we need to drive less. We need to adopt public transport in order to be sustainable in the Klang Valley.
I doubt there's even public transport in Kota Kumuning at the moment.
Exactly why we need to bring public transport there. So, you know, Spad, if you're listening to this, please send buses, send more buses to the Klang Valley. But with regards to restaurants, cleanliness, that's totally the council's responsibility. You may not, it's actually a different department for those listeners out there. The solid waste and public cleaning will be under one department in most councils. In fact, I think all the councils, they have a dedicated department for this. This department's responsibility is to collect your rubbish from your houses and your shops. And in terms of public cleaning, they clean the drains, they sweep the roads, and they cut the grass. They do this on a cycle, sometimes once a week, but in most cases, twice a month. All right. So, with regards to the restaurant hygiene, where you say they're washing and cutting meat,
they often use back lanes.
In the back lanes, I've seen that myself many times. This is not allowed. This is not good. And this is not safe for the consumer. There's another department, the Jabatan Kesihatan, in the public health department in the council. They are the ones tasked with enforcing this. And while my select committee has not gone into that, one day we should go down into that in detail. That is something that is definitely needs improvement, needs enforcement. And in fact, if you engage your local councillor, you can start the ball rolling on getting Kota Kumuning, getting some ideas in and putting in some pressure so that the enforcement spends a bit more time in Kota Kumuning to get this addressed.
Okay. RD, you have a question.
Hello, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, yeah. First and foremost, thank you so much for addressing this problem. I do find the Malaysian waste management system is very lacking in quality. But what I would like to know, though, is what is the Selangor State Government's effort in trying to reduce landfill?
Okay. Thank you. Very relevant question, Adi. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. I will speak generally on this because our committee has not studied the landfill situation in depth yet. But there is already efforts. In fact, recently there was a seminar, a one-day seminar organized by the state government looking into various options. There are incinerator options that have been proposed by various parties.
I was going to ask you, what is the status of incinerators? We cannot depend on landfill.
We want to look at options, but we also want to be cautious. We don't want to rush into big investments like incinerators. Now, just to give you the bit of drawback of incinerators, for those who are less familiar, besides the issue of pollution, which a lot of people are concerned about, the air pollution that will come out of an incinerator, there's also the question of how effective will an incinerator be with the waste profile in Malaysia, because we have a lot of wet waste in Malaysia, and we want to make sure we get the right technology. That's one. The second is the cost, because a lot of international numbers will indicate that an incinerator will cost around 150 to 200 ringgit a ton to process the waste. Now, with landfills, we only spend a tiny fraction of that. Jeram landfill is around 36 ringgit a ton. And this is these are sanitary landfills, not just a piece of land where you just pile on garbage. These sanitary landfills have lining, and that's why they cost some money. So the lining protects the ground from over pollution from the landfill.
But still in the long run, right?
They are still in the long run. So right now, the state government is looking at various options. There isn't a concrete answer yet, but this is something they already have started looking into. I would like to say that my take on this at this moment is that we keep our options open. We don't say no or yes to anything prematurely. We keep our options open. We should get detailed feasibility studies, because this is a multi-billion dollar investment. We shouldn't rush into it. We should get detailed studies. We should engage the public and the NGOs on these detailed feasibility studies. And until we do that, we shouldn't have a conclusion on which way is best. But some of the things that Slango should look into will be like material recovery facilities. In fact, I just did a press conference yesterday, and some papers have covered it today, that we should consider material recovery facilities that will... that these are facilities that have, you know, technology to extract from waste recyclables. So, you know, you got your whole, let's say, one ton of mixed up waste that we collect from all the houses and shops and so on, to extract the metal, to extract the glass, to extract the plastic from this waste before they get sent to the landfills.
Like a transfer station?
No. A transfer station is different. Totally different. Okay. So a material recovery facility. Now, all these options will require substantial upfront investment. So we need to look into that. I will be very concerned about opening brand new landfills. Now, we already have landfills within Slango that some of them have a long lifespan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Bukit Taga, easily 50 more years of waste. You can take waste for at least 50 more years, even up to 100 years. It's a very big landfill. So we shouldn't open up new landfills. I'd be very, very cautious about opening up new landfills. But for the moment, we are not that pressed for time that we need to have a solution today. We can spend another year debating the best possible way out. And I don't think we have the right answer for that yet.
The federal government is now talking about the waste separation scheme. Is Slango thinking about it as
well?
Yes,
Slango is in the midst of working on that. We have
I think implementation.
Correct.
A lot of people don't understand what they're supposed to be doing.
Correct. But this is why I'm very skeptical of the way KL is doing it. I mean, no offense to the people running it in KL. Because the easiest thing to do is to declare we are starting waste separation, and this is the date that we are starting. And this is the fine if you don't do it. 500 ringgit, 1,000 ringgit, 200 ringgit. And that's the easiest part of the process. But where's the education? Where's the engagement? How do you get the community to be aware and to actually start doing it? And that's key. So Slango is taking a different approach. We've hired a consultant to assist us in doing this. And we have picked four areas in four local councils. And on top of that, MBBJ has added three more areas on its own. So we have like seven areas in Slango, where and they are different profiles. We've picked low-cost flats, we've picked medium-cost housing, high-cost housing, commercial areas. And we are engaging the people. So the trial has already started. The trial is underway. I believe it's until November. And they are engaging the houses, you know, like really one-to-one, visiting the houses one-to-one and explaining to them and doing follow-up visits to explain to them. And we are trying to work out the best way, because let's face it, in Malaysia, we don't have a model that has, you know, worked. We talk about it, but we don't do it.
That's a laborious task.
It is.
Going down to the ground.
Which is why we are doing pilot projects in this selected few areas. If we were to just declare the whole Slango starting waste separation starting 1st January next year, that's easy to make such an announcement. But will the results follow if you were just to make a sweeping announcement like that? And this is where we are skeptical. And in fact, a lot of articles and papers have also highlighted that, you know, it's not really taking off that as expected in KL. And if the engagement is not there, I'm skeptical it will really take off. You will have some people who are already conscious and they will do the separation. But you know what? I think most of these people are already separating without your announcement of an enforcing date or a start date of a separation. Yeah. They already are doing it. So for the people who are not already doing it, we've got to understand better why if we've got to engage them. And I think right now, the joint effort between this consultant as well as the staff in the four local councils who are involved in this, as they do this over the next 2 months, they're going to gain a lot of experience and insights. And
which are the four local councils?
Offhand, I know Shalom, PJ, and I can't remember the other two, I'm sorry. But PJ is definitely doing it. We're doing it in Section 11, doing it in Section 16, PJS1, and Kayu Ara. And so in these four areas, our staff is handling three of them. The consultant is handling one of it. We're going to keep hearing feedback as it goes along. And we're going to see how we can learn from these experiences, and then we can roll out to more areas. And I think that's probably the better way to tackle this, because it's education. It's getting people's buy-in to waste separation, not just making an announcement.
Okay, well, Naz has something interesting to say, considering Captain Harminder called in from Seremban. Naz says, I think Selangor State can learn a lot from Negeri Sembilan. They're not the richest state in Malaysia, but they have super clean streets. I live in Shah Alam, and the street is very badly managed. My father will be very pleased, because he was with the Seremban Municipal Council.
Oh, he would be.
Yeah,
I haven't been to Seremban in quite a while. I'll take note. I'll try to drop by.
I wouldn't say super clean streets, but they're clean. You know, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. I think another cause for concern at the moment is this finger pointing, Rajiv. According to a column by former MBPJ councillor Mark Kyun Weng, and he says if rubbish was dumped on a riverbank, the local council would direct the problem to the drainage and irrigation department. If rubbish was dumped in a forested area, it is under the environment department, the DOE. And both agencies would, you know, point their fingers, and then where's the local council in all of this? You know, what goes on? And then problems never get solved.
All right. I would say that there are multiple agencies that do have jurisdiction over this. This is not problems that I personally have faced firsthand, because in PJ, we don't have forested areas per se. What do you call it? Let's see. How do I say this? If there are these problems, I would personally hope that all people who have jurisdiction would take an interest. Pointing fingers shouldn't happen. I acknowledge that it does happen from time to time. It shouldn't happen. And one example is the Klang River. There is a lot of dumping, illegal dumping along the Klang River. And at the Selangor level, the state secretary, in fact, is now chairing regular meetings with all agencies that are involved on addressing this matter, on clearing it up and preventing it from happening again. Ultimately, we got to address enforcement, because cleaning it up when it happens, then you already have people pointing fingers, because who's going to use whose money to do it? That's a lot of times the concern. But we've got to get sufficient enforcement on the ground. We've got to create that culture that if I throw, I will get caught, so I will not throw illegally. Why do they throw illegally? Because a lot of these people, they don't want to send their rubbish to the landfills. Now, you've got houses, you don't have to worry about that. You put your rubbish out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, your rubbish is collected. But industries, they have to pay for their waste disposal. They can hire one of the contractors. There are many contractors that are handling this. And if you hire a licensed, credible contractor, they will send the waste to the landfill, and you pay accordingly. If you want to save a lot on that, you don't travel all the way to the landfills, which may be quite a distance away, so you end up dumping in riverbanks and whatnot. So we've got to deal with that. Enforcement is really key. And I think when you mentioned the word transfer station, that is why we brought up the issue of a transfer station. Now, transfer station means you don't send your rubbish all the way to the landfill. You send your rubbish to a nearer facility called a transfer station, and the transfer station collects, aggregates all this rubbish and sends it in a much bigger truck to the landfill.
There's no separation can happen at that stage.
A separation can have. So you can mix a transfer station with a material recovery facility, two into one. That's also possible, and that's something that it can be explored. But in essence, a transfer station is where you don't send the waste all the way. So you send the waste halfway or nearer. So we recommended that local councils should not depend on the few landfills that we have. So we have Jeram in Kuala Selangor. We have Tanjung Doblas in Kuala Langat. And we have Bukit Taga up north near the Perak border. So these are quite a distance from the city centre, quite a distance from the heart of PJ, quite a distance from KL. So you've got industries that are far away from these landfills, and they may be tempted to pay illegal contractors to take the waste and just dispose it somewhere nearby, like the Klang River, rather than transporting the waste all the way to the proper landfill. So if you have transfer stations within every city, it doesn't have to be a big facility, but we have a transfer station, then we will not be so burdensome for them to go all the way to the landfill, and it creates more incentive for them to, like, you know what, the transfer station is just as near as the Klang River, why should I throw in the Klang River? I'll just send it to the transfer station. So these are what we talk about, making systems that work better for the community, and then they have to be coupled with enforcement.
How much does the Selangor government spend on waste disposal every year?
It is spent by the local councils, and cumulatively it's over 300 million ringgit.
Where does that stand? Is that a lot?
It is a lot. In fact, other than MPPJ, the other councils spend easily 40% of their budget on waste. So it is the single biggest expenditure in every local
waste
council.
Management.
Waste management.
Public cleanliness together.
Yeah, so this is the single biggest expenditure in pretty much all the local councils, maybe bar MPPJ.
40%.
Yes, you can go a bit higher. And that's why it's something that we have to manage well. You know, we can't say just increase our levels of services, like just sweep the road every day. It's nice to have things like that, but unless we raise our taxes, we have to think very carefully of how we adjust the frequency of services. So for the time being, even if we don't increase frequency of services, we've got to ensure that our contractors actually deliver what they are being paid for to the best possible service. Now, if you're paying them to cut the grass twice a month, we've got to make sure they actually really cut the grass twice a month. So we've got to get good supervisors. We've got to incentivize. Let's increase rewards and bonuses for supervisors who do a good job.
Hence your point on the whole idea of supervisors and performance bonds.
Yes, exactly.
Very crucial at this stage.
I believe it's very crucial.
Okay. Your message, Rajiv, on public cleanliness and waste disposal.
I would like to encourage all listeners out there. I think we all know our conscience can dictate to us, you know. Littering is the first step. That's the easiest, because we all know that dropping any litter on the street, whether you're walking or if it's out the window of your car, that's wrong. We should not do that. And we can afford to not do that. We can just keep the litter with us until we come to a dustbin. So if we all do that, we won't need to sweep the street so frequently, because the streets will not be filled with plastic and paper and so on. So we can all play a part to have cleaner streets. In terms of rubbish disposal, if you operate a business out there, I appeal to your conscience to engage proper contractors. You know, send your rubbish to landfill. It may cost more. I know it costs more to do that, but it's for the sustainability of our rivers. This is for the sustainability of our forests, that you do not send your rubbish to the Klang River. If you want to see a clear river one day, not the Teh Tarik Klang River, we've all got to play our parts. And in fact, you know, proper enforcement is going to lead to industries having to buck up. You know, how do you reduce the waste? Because if it costs money to dispose of waste, it's got to start motivating industries, like how do you produce your products minimizing waste. And so if you're a businessman out there, if you run companies out there, or you're a manager in these firms, I appeal to you, pending enforcement, I appeal to you that you help play a part. This is the very definition of corporate social responsibility, not giving goodie bags at birthday parties, but you know, to be a good corporate citizen, to not contribute to the problem, but contribute towards the cleanliness.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman on public cleanliness and waste disposal on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.